Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is the podcast for you. So, hey, friends, I'm Lee Brown. Welcome back to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. And I know that you're here for the same reason that everybody else is here, because it's all the stuff that HGTV really should have on the channel, but they're chicken and we are not chicken over here, because it takes nerves of steel and really a big constitution to survive in anything related to real estate. And as a proof of that, my guest today actually is a real estate survivor and thriver, Shad Boucher. And of course, you'll hear all the history of his name here shortly. Shad, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm a big fanboy. It's really kind of an honor to be on.
Well, you're kind of funny, because you've made your agents fans of mine, too. And I appreciate that, because I love them so much and they're so good on Instagram. You've got really good people working with you.
Yeah, we try. I mean, I tell people all the time, I fell into the kind of the coaching role naturally. And I tell people that I don't actually make typical agents. I build badass unicorns. And that's kind of what I'm doing right now.
Let me write that down, that I build badass unicorns, because I love that so much, because that is exactly who you do hire. I love that. Mm-hmm. Okay. So see, I'll tell you, that's one of the crazy things in real estate, y'all, is you never know what real estate's going to do to your life trajectory and what kind of a job you're going to wind up in, even though you start off in sales like most of us mm-hmm. do. I did, and I'm not doing that nearly as much as I had ought to, but I still have prospects on the whiteboard, and you're still probably doing a little bit of retail real estate from time to time, helping your agents. So Shad, tell them how long you've been in the game, where you're located, all that fun stuff.
So I'm actually located in Tampa, Florida. It's actually a little city outside it called Lutz, which everybody always calls Lutz. I've been in the business for about 20 years. I guess, you know, one of my biggest achievements was I was the actual REMAX Manager of the Year for the United States for 2018.
Whoop, whoop, that's big.
I got a trophy and a medal, which is kind of cool. But I mean, honestly, tell you the truth, I've fallen into the coaching realm now, which is my role here at the office. It's actually what I love, because it allows me to succeed through others and also to kind of make sure that they get to aspire to their dreams, and that we build actual agents and people that are part of the community and not just some kind of cookie cutter churned out people. That's my big thing. But, you know, it's just a great industry to be in if you really love it.
So is it Boucher? Because that's how I say it in my head.
It is Boucher. It actually is Boucher.
I mean, I think most Southern people would say Boucher, but I figured it was Boucher.
Believe it or not, it's actually Boer.
Really?
So there are two, not to give you too much history, but I know you like history. There's two lines of the family. One is French. They immigrated to Canada. The other line actually left France and went to Germany, where the name is pronounced Boucher. And
that's very aggressive.
Right. And then those people ended up in Pennsylvania.
So they were Pennsylvania Germans, but not Pennsylvania Dutch. Your family's complicated, Shad.
Correct. So it's now it's Boer, because the CH goes silent.
So how do you pronounce it?
It's Boucher. Look,
but you're I don't care what you call me as long as you call me.
There you go. I had enough people messing with my first name that I didn't need to have a last name of Boer when I was in school. So I just kind of let it go. I was like, it's Boucher.
Shad's a popular fish. So didn't that help you at all?
No, because it's actually two D's, which is not the fish. But the funny thing is, if you go west of like New Mexico, it's a very popular name. I've met a Shad the Third, and it's very popular. And that's where my dad was in Texas when he heard it.
Well, Shad Bogany, one of our realtor volunteers from Houston.
Yeah, that's it, out in Texas. It's a very, very popular name.
Who knew? I didn't know that. See, we've learned something new today already.
There you go.
So how did you wind up in real estate?
So I actually, this is really funny. I actually used to be in retail, and I sold a pair of sunglasses to the professed cheapest person in Tampa. And he was a broker. And he basically came back and said, I needed to be selling real estate, not sunglasses. And later on, I went through real estate school. I joined his office. I modernized him and married his daughter. Pretty much that's how I ended up with my first broker. And we had a title mortgage and a real estate company. And he was very old school. In fact, he was actually originally offered the master franchise for Century 21 for all of Massachusetts. And he turned down. Oh, yeah. My father-in-law's had many should have moments that never went anywhere. But then when the downturn started happening, since I was from retail, I could read P&Ls and see the writing on the wall. So I kind of tried to get him to turn the ship. And I got told that he'd been doing this for 40 years and knew what he was doing. And so I basically took a management position with a large Century 21 brokerage, because it was a guaranteed paycheck and a guaranteed contract. And that's how I fell into the management side of it. But I had been doing that for multiple years anyway.
Right.
So it was just a natural progression. And then got into luxury real estate from there. And then split off for a while, believe it or not, got out of the business and started working back in corporate America for a company that wanted to bring do not call compliance to the real estate industry.
Was that during the recession that you went to a real job?
No, it was sort of the about 2010, 2011.
That would be recessionary times.
Yeah, it was there, and it was a consulting contract for 18 months. It was too much money to turn down. I went there and I really was using that as a stopgap, to be honest with you, for figuring out what my next move was. And I didn't know whether I wanted to own a brokerage and, you know, what I wanted to do next. And it just so happens that while I was playing with that, Kendall Bonner, who's the broker here, was awarded a REMAX.
Love
and
Kendall.
Little known fact, I am the person that brought her into real estate. I hired her at Century 21.
Oh, no way. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. So she worked for me at one point.
Well, she's definitely a badass unicorn. There's no question about that.
You're not kidding me. In fact, she just graced the Inman stage yesterday, which I was really, really super proud of her.
I didn't catch that. Go Kendall!
Yeah, she was on there yesterday. I was really, really super proud of her. She crushed it. But yeah, so she actually opened this REMAX, and I was really kind of just doing a fact-finding mission to see if I wanted to franchise or not franchise. And basically, long story short, she said, I need you. And I said, well, I don't want to compete with you, so let's do this. And 5 years later, here we are.
So far, real estate's given you a wife. Viewpoints on why we don't say that's not the way we've always done it.
There you go.
It's puts you in management for an amazing broker owner.
Yeah.
And it got me a multi
six figure consulting contract with a large company out of Boston. I mean, yeah.
So I want to hear more about the do not call compliance, because I'm fascinated by that. Because frankly, I will tell you, Shad, I don't feel like it works for shit, because my phone rings all the time. And when I tell people I'm on the do not call list, they just click and go away. Sure. So,
well, and that's because they're spoofing numbers out of India and stuff like that, where the call compliance doesn't work, which is...
You mean Canada. They all say they're from Canada and their name is John.
Exactly. And they also say the name is Steve. Yeah, exactly. But no, the company is actually, it's a company called Griffin. They do not call compliance for some of the largest industries out there. Financial, automotive, medical, all those things. We did it for a while. We tried to open the vertical, and actually we even had a meeting with NAR in Chicago, and they basically said, nope, our members don't need this. If you want to do it, you have to sell it to them. And we want you to give us money for the right to do so and for us to endorse you and whatever. And so it just became too much of a cost investment before any kind of return situation. But no, Griffin has a fantastic, you can call it an app, but it's not really an app. It's actually, it replaces the dialer on your phone. So you dial through it. And within about half a millisecond, it runs state do not call list, enterprise do not call list, and federal do not call list. And then it will actually connect you with them. They have like cutting edge analytics and AI. They can tell you on the phone if the person is aggressive or smiling and all kinds of stuff like that. The calls are automatically recorded. I'll be honest with you. I wish I could get it to start working again, because it was a great opportunity to bring a modernization to our business that we don't have now.
Why don't y'all buy it for your brokerage? Is it too expensive for a small operator?
It is pretty expensive for a small operator, which is why we were trying to go in at the either the NAR level or come in at the actual franchise level, the REMAX, the Berkshire Hathaway, that level, to try to get it in there. But it is fairly expensive for small.
Well, you have to go back to Griffin and tell them to make a small enterprise version of it on an app that could be purchased, because you might make up the volume on small dollars, because
we've
lesson one that. In business school.
Mm-hmm. No, I've thought about it. In fact, every time that there seems to be something comes up under do not call, I always forward the emails to them just to see what, you know, see if there's any interest still.
That's crazy. All right. So anyway, I totally distracted us there, because I'm fascinated by that. So in the 20 years you've been in real estate,
yep.
And even in management, you get to see different things. But I'm curious as to what you came up with for your crazy story, because, hey, full disclosure, audience, Shad was all whiny and stuff when I asked him why he wouldn't be on the show, because he stalks the show. And he said, I don't have anything to say. And I said, bullshit, because I knew he had something to tell us. And sure. It didn't take him long thinking about it to realize that,
no. Like
the rest of y'all know, Lee Brown is right. So anyway, now that you know Lee Brown is right, I think you should tell your story.
So I think one of the things that nobody ever explains to you when you get into this business is how much you will honestly deal with the supernatural. You know, we all hear of that house that's haunted, right? But we don't think about our clients and the superstitions they bring culturally to the sale.
You mean like the fact that Asian people will know when somebody has died in a house? Because I will never understand. They know. It's crazy.
100%. And I'll be honest with you, you know, even when I came up with this, I was thinking about it. I literally came up with about 10 transactions that come to my mind that it played a major like factor. I sold a home to a dowser from Connecticut.
Like the people with the stick that find water?
Mm-hmm.
They're still around?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And this cat was buying $500,000 house cash. So who am I to say that his magic stick don't work, right?
Yeah, no argument. Yeah.
So I got curious and I was like, so what do you do? And so I took him to a home, and here in Florida, we have sprinkler systems all of our lawn. It's a must. You can't, your grass is dead if you don't have an automatic sprinkler. And so I asked him, I said, hey, can you get out of your, can you show me? And he walked right to the first sprinkler head, like from the car, walked, got his dowsing rods and walked. Okay. And then he told me where the water lines were running in the yard. So I was like, okay, whatever. But the point of this is, he could feel the earth lines so much, according to him, that he had to douse the master bedroom, because if there were any of those water lines or channels running under the master bedroom, he couldn't sleep.
I don't understand any of this, but I wish I knew him, because I sold a house one time that had a spring in the crawl space. And if we'd had him, we might not have had people buy that house, because they did not know, because it was a drought time. Can a dowsing person find out the water if it's drought season? Do they know?
Drought season. So apparently, according to him, he doesn't actually follow water. The water itself follows energy channels in the earth.
Like chi? Is this something? This like has to do with chi, right?
They're actually called ley lines, believe it or not. And there's major ones, and there's smaller ones and veins. And he had a brass set of these dowsing rods. They were not like, he didn't like just pick a willow branch. He had serious stuff. And again, you in this business, you have to be careful of going, okay, look, you and your hokum can just go that direction, right?
I never ever do that, because right. People know things, they just do. So
absolutely.
Can I get some dowsing rods and be taught, or do you have to be granted that gift from the Lord?
Apparently you have to be sensitive. Apparently you have to be sensitive. Well, exactly. I'm not sensitive either. I can find a whiskey bottle, but I sure as heck can't find water under the earth. Right. But yeah. And honestly, we looked at 5 houses. He dismissed 4, and the 5th one, when the rods didn't cross in the bedroom, he put a full price offer and bought it.
So can you use him for other clients? Like, is he on your vendor list?
Well, he was very old when I sold him the house in 2005. And unfortunately he's passed away.
Damn it, Shad.
I know.
I was ready to come meet him.
Well, and I got you, but I do know that he did actually do business with some people a little north of where his house was, and tell him where to dig wells. And he did.
How do you find a dowser nowadays? Is there like a national association of dowsers?
I don't believe so, but to be honest with you, I think they're very prevalent up in Vermont and Connecticut and those original colonies. They're like a thing. And people swear by them. And it is, and that's just, like I said, that's just one instance.
It's going to be a realtor designation next. You know that, right? There's going to be like an 8-hour class.
Dowsing.
You could be a certified dowsing professional.
I think you could be, but then,
I would like to be one. I would take that class, frankly, because I'm fascinated by the fact that this is real.
He was very serious about it. And I had to be careful, because, you know, when I was selling houses in the 2000s, I was 26, 27, 28. I was not, I was like, what? You know,
your brain wasn't finished yet. Let's
No,
clicking in the frontal lobe.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So it was, you know, I was real quick to go, huh? You know, and nope, he was dead serious. And, you know, and I also helped, I helped a young Spanish couple find a house, but their grandma had to pick it.
And why did she pick? Did she have the attachment to
okay.
the property?
So in the Latin culture, there is a thing called an asabache. Okay. It's actually a piece of coal that spins on a little medallion. You wear it. You ever heard of an Italian horn?
Yes.
Okay. Italian horns are for warding off the evil eye in the Italian culture. The asabache is the same thing in the Latin culture. Okay. Now, again, see, this is nothing I knew before coming into real estate and ever thought I would ever care to know.
Right.
But grandma had to walk through the house, and she was looking for kukuis.
I love that word.
Well, so do I. And it's fun to say. But in the Mexican folklore, that is the boogeyman.
Like Beetlejuice?
Uh-huh. So she had to find out if there was a cuckoo. And then when we found a house that was cuckoo free, I had to, at the home inspection, put a glass of water in the master bedroom overnight and make sure there was no bubbles in the water the next day. Because that meant there were evil spirits trying to, and they get trapped in the water. So she slept with a glass of water by her bedside every night. And that was to trap evil spirits trying to get at her.
I hope she took all the aerators off the faucets, because it'd be hard to get you bubbles out nowadays in these hotels with their water.
I don't disagree.
Sources.
Yeah, I don't disagree. But it was amazing, because I had to do a home inspection on a Thursday and then come back Friday and look at this water.
You know, you're going to get your radon canister anyway. You just as well check the water while you're there.
That's exactly it.
Consolidating trips.
But, you know, the funny thing is, after I decided this was kind of what I was going to talk about today, are you familiar with Real Estate Mastermind?
It's
a large Facebook group, 53,000 people. Okay. This was literally a post from the other day. And I'm going to read it for you because I screenshotted it. I'm going to read it for you verbatim. What do you say to someone who claims they / someone they know sees a demon in their home?
Oh, you watched Lee Brown's video for how to remove demons from your house.
There you go. And there was 321 comments on this when I grabbed it. And 21 of those were just like, ha, 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 whatever. The rest of these were serious, like step-by-step situations.
You burn sage. I mean, I am from North Carolina and I have learned enough about this. You burn sage to clear the house.
Right. And there was a lady in here named Megan. We'll keep her last name anonymous. She gave a post this long on everything from you have to go to a botanica and get rue, hyssop and eucalyptus and this Kanga water and 1800 tobacco, you mop the floors. Like, she was dead serious. And well, this
look, is... Of all my videos on YouTube, there is one called How to Remove Demons, because I ran into this with a client several years ago. And the comment thread on that one is very, very weird and interesting, because your hardcore Christians are like, you are against the Lord because you talked about demons, and they get very angry at me. And then the demon people are like, you're not detailed enough. And then they give 87 paragraphs about how I'm supposed to have told people. And then you have the other people that are like, what? The topics are never going to be taught in pre-license in those, Shad. I mean, how do you prepare one of your badass unicorns for dealing with?
I think it comes back demons to just realizing that you listen to people, understand, and then try to educate yourself. And don't come back and be like, you're crazy.
Right. You can't belittle this stuff. I mean,
no, because to them, it is, again, I don't know if this guy could really find water in the ground. But like I said, he bought $500,000 house cash, which who am I to say at that point?
And he wasn't wrong about the irrigation lines.
Nope. And he wasn't. And I actually watched the little rods he have cross in 4 out of 5 master bedrooms. Right. So, and he signed a contract within probably 30 minutes of those things not crossing in that fifth bedroom. So I think you just have to start educating yourself on other people's cultures and realize that even though it may not be real to you, it is certainly real to them. And you have to try to help them to facilitate that. And the biggest thing is I have to facilitate that with other realtors. Like
right.
When I told a listing agent that I wanted to leave a glass of water in the house overnight, you know, that kind of went wrong. Now, 46-year-old me would have said, hey, we need to go back and retrieve something the next morning. I probably wouldn't have explained it as crystal detail as I did when I was in my 20s. But yeah, you've got to be okay with this stuff. And you're right. You know, a lot of Japanese people, Korean people, they walk into a house, they know if somebody died in that joint like within seconds.
Well, and the first time I encountered that, I was showing the house to a family and they were Asian, and the grandmother got to the door and she wouldn't go in. And she explained, they told me by translation that she wasn't coming in because somebody had died there. And I said, there's no way. And of course, I'm thinking this is all crazy, not real stuff. And then it didn't take a whole lot of research. This was in the era before Google, because this was back when I was new in real estate. I had to go look at the microfilm at the library. And I looked it up, and sure as the world, there'd been a death in that house. And how she knew it, I don't have any way of knowing. But it is a wonderful learning experience for any realtor. And frankly, Shab, this is when it's harder for an older realtor to get it sometimes, because older realtors get so hung up in how much they know and what is and what is not. And sometimes it's our newer realtors among us that are the ones most willing to ask questions because they haven't seen it. They post it in a Facebook group and they get all the feedback. But at the end of the day, it's ask, lots of questions, but Howard Brenton told us this, and one of our most wonderful trainers in real estate, who's been gone now for some several years, always said, come at this from get out of judgment and into curiosity.
Correct. Listen
even
to
when
understand.
It's a supernatural.
And especially when it's a supernatural, because I'll be honest with you, it's amazing. You know, they say that sometimes you can't unsee what you've seen. I walk around now and I'm like, oh, that's an acebace. Oh, that's an Italian horn. That's what this ward's off. And I'm, you know, and you can't unsee it. And I thought it was just jewelry at one point.
So my question is this, do you leave a glass of water by your bedside looking for bubbles?
I'm not going to answer that for fear of maybe possibly incriminating myself, but yes, ma'am, there is a glass of water by my bed at night. And I'm not going to tell you there's not.
If I was good with the internet, I would insert that ABC little GIF, the more you know thing, and I would put that over your head right now, but I don't know how to do that.
Nice. But yeah, that's it. It's true. And people get, you know, I get gifts now of that stuff, which is amazing to me. You know, we have a Korean agent in the office, and she, you know, gives us things like mirrors and all those things, which are very, very big to them. And it's about good luck. And she actually has them branded Remax, which I think is cool. You know, because we actually got to meet the Dave Liniger of Korea. Harry Shin. Yeah. And he was actually over here looking at property in Florida, and she brought him by the office. But yeah, he's the Dave Liniger of Korea, which is cool. But
if you're a consumer listener, Dave Liniger was the founder of Remax. We slipped into real estate speak for a minute. Sorry about that. Shad, if anybody needs to find a professional realtor in the Tampa area who's not going to belittle any odd beliefs or ideas that they have, how can they reach you and your team of badass unicorns?
They can simply go to Remax Capital Realty on Facebook, or they can reach me on my Twitter or my Instagram, which is just at Shad Boucher.
Put a glass of water beside your bed. Be like Shad and tell us if there's any bubbles in it, and then tell us what that means in your house.
Absolutely.
Tell me again, what's the word for the little demons?
The kukui.
Kukui. Okay.
The kukui. Yeah.
I was thinking Coosawatchie, but that's a town. Well, that threw me off.
Yeah, I can understand.
Man, Shad, thank you for coming on the show. And thank you, by the way, for all that you do for your agents and for other agents, because you're always out there in front sharing. And that's exactly what professional realtors do. So thank you for that.
I appreciate you having me. It's been an honor.
All right, people, if you're watching, listening, whatever, go hit subscribe. Give me 5 stars because I need some more stars, frankly. If you give me less than 5, I'll curl up in the corner of the room and cry. And then make sure that you let me know if you have a story you want to share. I'm at Lee Brown on Twitter if you enjoy that dumpster fire, or you can leave a comment in any of these threads and let me know what you'd like to share. We'll get you on the show. Subscribe. We'll see you next time. And go have some fun in real estate.
If you are listening to this episode and you need to tell us something about your crazy life in or around real estate, then tweet me at Lee Brown or reach me on any of the social networks. That's if you're a broker, realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular normal human being who happens to have dealt in real estate. Subscribe for more episodes. And as always, we are thrilled that you joined us for some crazy shit in real estate. See you next time.